The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
He throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. Matt here, your host. And finally, I think in what, about a month or so, or a couple of episodes, we welcome back, would you Adam and Eve it, Alex. Alex, welcome back.
I don't understand what did you just say? Do you Adam and Eve it? What
is Adam that?
We don't have that in America.
Adam and Eve it, Cockney rhyming slang for would you believe it?
Yep, I've never heard that before. Okay. Three years in the UK, still learning things. Okay, great. No, I'm excited to be back. I just graduated university with a marketing degree. So it's time to finally focus on just the Bills instead of writing stupid papers about companies that I don't care about.
Well, there's one company that you will be able to care about, and that's the Buffalo Bills. So,
well, I mean, there has been a lot of news about the Pegulas lately that kind of makes me sour on their whole organization. But, hey, they built the Bills the right way, and whatever else they're doing right now, at least in terms of this podcast, I'm not going to talk about.
So I hope everyone at home and you, Alex, have got your cup of Rosie Lee ready for this episode.
I don't know what you just said again. What would Rosie Lee? What?
Rosie Lee, cup of tea.
Jesus Christ, man. You gotta just simplify your Britishness right now, please. You're killing me.
If we ever do a live video, I'll put subtitles on next time.
Okay, I'm gonna need it. I tell people because I'm finally back in store for work, and I'm telling people like I've had 2 months of not hearing the British accent. I need to be eased into it again. It's been difficult for me. But enough BS. What have I missed?
Well, we've got the serious news of Cam Newton joining the Patriots, COVID, and how it's going to affect the NFL and the season itself, and also the stadium rights. But I just thought we would take a butcher's hook at the Madden ratings.
Oh, good. This is a good opportunity to see what everybody thinks about the Bills and how inevitably they think that we suck. So this is fantastic. Well, Madden ratings are always bad for us.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Tre'Davious White.
Before I look at these numbers, I haven't seen them yet. I'm going to look at them for the first time now. We just made the playoffs. We had a really good season. I'm expecting, cautiously optimistically, I'm expecting them to be pretty decent. And let's scroll down, and what the shit. We're an 81 overall.
Yep.
Our defense is only an 83. Okay, look.
Yep.
I don't play Madden anymore, not because of this, but just because the game has gotten boring. It's the same game every year. But I mean, honestly, for anybody outside of, you know, like, if you ask my dog, they're not going to know what the Bills defense rating should be. But anyone who knows anything about football should know the Bills defense is better than an 83 overall. This group needs to at least minimum be an 87.
Yes, I know. It is really annoying. And especially when you look at Tre'Davious White, he's a 90. A 90, and yet,
I think last year he was only like an 87 or 89. So if he finished Madden 20 as an 89 and only is now a 90, and now in comparison, I think a lot of people talk about this, in comparison to Stephon Gilmore, let me see what his rating is. Don't be a 99. It's a 99. Okay.
And you've got Tre'Davious White hasn't even bloody given up a touchdown. About the same amount of yards conceded than than Gilmore, and yet he's still 9 points
Yeah,
lower.
I mean, these two players are very, very comparable in terms of their production and their statistics and their advanced metrics. Gilmore gets a 99 because he plays for the Patriots, and that's the bias that I think that Madden does, because they want the good teams to be great.
Yeah.
They want average teams to be average, because that's how the game plays.
Yeah, and you got
What else do we have here? What's Josh Allen?
Josh Allen, 77.
Scrolling. This is embarrassing. 77. That's bad. I was gonna say 83. I mean, just based on his running ability, you know.
He's got the highest throw power.
Whatever. You know what throw power gives you in Madden? The last time I played Madden, you got a guy with a high throwing power. He just throws darts that wide receivers can't catch.
let's just name. Just obviously,
Matt Milano's a 79. That's too low.
Edmonds is a 90. Not a 90, an 80. Sorry.
That's awful. He's like an 85. Ed Oliver's only an 81. I would say John Brown should be an 83, and Cole Beasley can get the 82. But at least Diggs gets the 92, but I bet you they'll lower that once he starts putting up the numbers. I mean, I bet you they only do these ratings based off of, like, statistics and not, like, actual, like, what the players do. There's no way that they take into account advanced metrics.
Yeah, well, at least we know that Josh Allen is actually the same as Kyler Murray, better than Jared Goff in there. And obviously you've got Joe Burrow as a 76, Sam Darnold and Tagovailoa both 73. But
Darnold's a 73?
Darnold's a 70. Did I say 73? I think.
Yeah.
Let's double check that, because I want to double check it. But it's, as long as we've got some, he's better than some of the guys in his own field, not his own field, his own draft year. It's all good. Let's have a look. Back into there.
Yeah, 73.
Yeah, and then you got
that's Jets fans should be more upset about that than I am about Allen getting a 77.
Yeah. I mean,
I would give them both the same rating, because I think Darnold's a better thrower. I think Allen is the better overall, like, athlete and quarterback right now. And then
you're looking at the people that are higher than Josh Allen. You've got Ryan Tannehill, who's an 80, Derek Carr, 79, Baker Mayfield, 78. And the guy we're going to come on to next, and Patriots' new quarterback, Cam Newton, a 78 as well.
Yeah, that's fine. I bet you, I think if anything, if Allen has a year where he really, this is the year where he really takes the next step, I think he has the chance to finish the season at like an 84. But yeah, I mean, getting off of video game numbers for a bit, and let's look at real football.
Yes.
Cam Newton is a Patriot. That happened a bit ago, but we haven't been able to talk about it on the show or on our Twitter. I'm not happy about it. I'm a little bit worried about it. How do you feel?
I'm not too worried about it.
You're not really.
The fact that they got him in late, he's still got to go through the whole, he's got to get trying to get the grasp of Belichick's playbook in a few weeks before preseason. And I still think they're high, as they've always said, on Jarrett Stidham, that Newton may possibly just be a backup. I'm not too worried,
really,
the fact that, and also you've got McDermott, he was coaching staff when he was at Panthers. You've got Addison, who was there, Vernon Butler, I think maybe was there. You've got Josh Norman.
You had a good point. Everybody that we have on our staff is suited to stopping Cam Newton. The way I see it is, here's a redemption story of redemption stories. Here's Bill Belichick getting an opportunity to get Tom Brady, to distance himself from Tom Brady in terms of legacy, because Belichick didn't do it with the Browns when he was by himself there. He didn't do it with Bledsoe. He only did it with Brady. So,
yeah.
I mean, even though Bledsoe got them to the Super Bowl basically, but then got hurt. I'm very worried about it. Cam Newton's last good season, 2019 was garbage, but 2018, I would say he's probably top 15 in terms of if you were to rank quarterbacks. His approximate value on the season was 13. In terms of quarterbacks, superb is 20. So he's better than a replacement level quarterback. And that's what bothers me, because remember when Belichick had Matt Cassel, they still went 11-5.
Yeah.
So if they have, if their defense is still outstanding. So if Cam Newton could be slightly above average, and if he could at all regain his ability to run, he's going to be as effective as Josh Allen. And I would lose. The Bills would lose if we had Cam Newton. Now, that's a good, interesting way. Obviously, if we had Matt Barkley and the Patriots had Josh Allen, we would lose. But think about putting Josh Allen on the Patriots. Would you be, if we had Josh Allen and the Patriots had a Josh Allen clone, would you be worried about the Patriots?
Yes, would.
This is how I see it. This is exactly how I see it.
I do see them both similar in the way, but I think I would fear more if Josh Allen was a Patriot rather than Cam Newton.
So is it because you think Cam Newton is just cooked?
I think it's more because I still haven't seen him yet become really that passer type guy. He's like Josh, he'll still use his legs.
He's got a better completion percentage than Josh does over his career.
Yeah,
he threw 67%.
Yeah, so there you've got that. I'm trying to think of how their skill sets are combined.
I think they're very similar. He's only what? How old is he? He's not a fossil by any chance. He's 31. So he's probably got 2 years left. I mean, he had a fantastic offseason working out, so I'm sure he feels great.
I'm just worried that he's actually he's not fully recovered. What was it, shoulder? Shoulder that was the issue? Mm-hmm. The fact that I don't think he can really recover that well, that quickly from shoulders. I know that myself, having shoulder surgery,
mm-hmm.
I've not fully recovered. It's been about 3-4 years now, and I'm still getting pains in my shoulders and all that. But
if I were to hold up a picture of Cam Newton, hold up a picture of you, who would I say is more physically fit?
I would say Cam Newton for sure.
Okay. So I think that plays a lot into it. I mean, I've had lingering injuries, but I mean, I'm not an athlete. I mean, remember it took Adrian Peterson like 6 months to come back from a torn ACL. Then he ran for 2,000 yards. My cousin tore his ACL when he was 16 and he still hasn't recovered yet. So, yeah. I mean, we're not athletes. We can't compare ourselves. Yeah. But
I mean, I'm looking at his stats. His stats, since his big year in 2015, where he's had 3,837.
Yeah.
35 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He's then gone the next year, 3,509 yards, 19 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Next year, 3,302 yards, 22 touchdowns, 16 interceptions.
I'm very certain, though, that the Patriots will be able to limit his turnovers.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to let him loose, you know? He's gonna either have to play their system and be hampered by it, but yet, you know, ridiculously average, or if they let him be him, then I think that they unravel. The Patriots are really, a coin flip when it comes into bringing in these big name free agents. It didn't work with Antonio Brown. It didn't work with Chad Ochocinco. And those are players that are on the downturn of their careers. It works for the Patriots when they're younger players who come in after a bad start, and the Patriots have a chance to mold them. So I think Cam Newton is who he is. The Patriots can't mold him. So I mean, I'm worried for what it could be, but at the same time, he could be broken and he could get cut. It's tough to say. We don't have to see them until week 8, which is great or bad. It's one of the crazy things because it's so early to talk about football, I think, still. He could be warmed up by week 8 or he could be broken by week 8.
Yeah.
But I look at a guy who won the MVP. I look at a guy who took his team to the Super Bowl. I look at a guy who's supremely talented, first overall pick, unlike anything the league has seen in a bit for his size and his speed. And the last full season, he threw 67%. So I'm you know, book me as worried about it.
I just don't think he fits what Belichick's looking at.
We'll see if Belichick changes for him, you know? I mean, Belichick, I think he'll do anything to win and prove that he's not because of Tom Brady. His legacy isn't because of Tom Brady.
I think it is Stidham's to lose. I think he'll be there.
Yeah.
I mean, Stidham's been in that offense for a year and a bit. He's learned from Brady, so they're going to give him the first crack. And then
This is how I see it in terms of coaching. John Harbaugh completely redid the whole Baltimore offense to fit Lamar Jackson. If Belichick decides, hey, this guy's not like Tom Brady, he's not going to play Tom Brady offense. He's not going to play a Tom Brady offense. We need to change our offense to fit Cam Newton. If they do that, then you should be worried, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a case. I've said it on previous podcasts I've been part of as a whole NFL-based. The one I did with the rest of the AFC East, I've said that I don't think he is the guy for New England. He's not the system. He's not the system type quarterback that Belichick wants. Will Belichick adapt? If possible, he will. But this is the one thing we've got to think of: him coming over and what's happening in the world at the moment, which we'll move on to now. Which, as the Cockneys have now declared it, Miley Cyrus, the coronavirus, and how it's obviously affecting how Cam Newton will actually progress as a Patriot in training camp. But we're going to go on to a bit more about that and obviously how it affects the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk more about Cam Newton when we do our Patriots preview for the season preview, which will be coming out soon. But the biggest thing that's still bothering the rest of the world, not really the rest of the world, The sickness that's bothering the UK and America, because we have two governments that are inept.
Yeah.
Everybody else is getting on with their lives in Europe and the rest of the world, but we suck. And Brazil's not doing well, but it's because of also inept leadership. But one specific note I read about COVID that really gets me worried about the players' ability to get game shape ready was the specifics of the acclimation process. The players' union president detailed what the players wanted, which is 21 days of strength training, 10 days of non-padded practices, and then 14 days of contact practices. And that seems like enough, but will the NFL, I mean, they see these players as you know, profit machines only. So if they're going to say, that's too much practice before we play games, because it's too risky to be that, you know, that close together for that early, that long of a period of time before games start. I see the NFL saying, no, that's too much. And the players are going to be like, shit, I mean, I'm not going to be game ready. So we're going to have a bad product and it's going to be just super weird. And it's going to be super weird anyway, right? I mean, I'm worried about the players' health, because the game demands so much of them if they're not game shape ready. I know that they practice all off season, but you really can't. There's no substitute for 11 on 11, you know?
Yeah, obviously. But what you're obviously saying about about what the players want, the 21 days strength and conditioning, 10 days non-contact, 14 days that.
Yeah.
That would take you pretty much up to, that would take you past week one, because only about 30.
Yeah, the biggest thing about that schedule-wise, I'm glad you brought that up, was because the players don't want two preseason games. The league does.
Mm.
So I mean, what's going to happen there?
I mean,
that's still undecided.
Ideally, if it were me, I would even cut that down just to one.
Just do one warm-up game. I mean, it's going to be tough for the coaches to figure out their cuts, though, you know?
Yeah, then, I mean, two,
well, whatever. Yeah. It is what it is. Let's just make sure we have football, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I understand where they're coming from. It's a scary situation. We've seen it work in football, how it's going at the moment. Mm-hmm. And stuff over here is now starting to come back under certain conditions. I can see the players, all the NFL players, worries and concerns on how it's going to be and how the testing is. And obviously, different states are in different state.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a really important point, is how the different states handle it. It's not like Manchester and London have different rules about COVID, because in America, everybody's stupid and everything is different.
Well,
let me ask you real quick, though, because, I mean, I'm not really paying attention to the Premier League. How is it going?
It's going all right. I mean, they're nearly finished the season. There'd be no real issues as such, and we're pretty much playing every day of the week to at least get the 92 games in that they had left.
Has any player opted out of returning?
No.
Really?
For training, when the training restarted, there were a couple of players that sat out for a few. Mm-hmm. One was because he just had a newborn son.
Yeah.
So for that reason, he decided to actually sit out for a while whilst that does, but.
But no one, really no one's sitting out for games.
No. Okay. No.
Because baseball season starts next Thursday, and there have been a handful of players who have opted out of playing the season. Mm. In baseball, not a contact sport.
Yeah.
So you're pretty much social distance when you're playing baseball.
Yeah. So
weird.
I'd say, when you go back to each state, I mean, you're looking at different states. New York, I think, is one of the lowest states in America now with COVID cases compared to your likes of Florida.
Yeah, April and May, New York was the worst, and they've got their stuff kind of figured out now. But I mean, you look at Tom Brady in Tampa, Florida's a shithole in terms of, you know, their ability to take care of COVID. It's a mess. Everyone's dying in Florida of COVID. Let's open Disney World. You know, that's where their head's at. So,
I mean, looking at it, obviously, come through. What's the date today? 19th, isn't it?
I don't know. I still haven't gotten. We are in the world, you know.
But on the 18th, an email came from the Football Operations that's saying that have actually broken down the dates for training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So the rookies all come back on the 21st July.
Okay.
The quarterbacks, any injured players, they come back on the 23rd July. And all other players due to report on the 28th of July.
Okay.
So they've already set that out.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can get a lot of stuff in. Obviously, we're going to have to base reports on what we can actually scrounge, because obviously they're going to do all practices behind closed door.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen a lot on social media of Josh Allen and a lot of the players working out together. So they've kind of had their own mini camp. So that's been good. But another thing about COVID that we were talking about with the different states is, unlike in Premier League, there's no fans, right?
Yes.
Yes, there are. Yes, there aren't.
Yes, there's no fans.
Okay, there's no fans. In baseball, there won't be fans. In the NFL, they're leaving it up to the teams and their state legislature if they're going to allow fans in the stadium or not. That is some bullshit.
Well, the Eagles have said there's going to be no fans.
Yeah, so imagine right now you're an Eagles fan, and you have them going and playing against, you know, some other team where they're like, yeah, no, we'll allow fans. So all their home games is artificial noise, and all their away games are legit. Like, there's no way to. It's just not fair, because the energy you get off of fans is unparalleled. If both teams are used to playing with no fans, you're on even ground. But if you have to go in someone else's house and play in that hostile environment where they're feeding off their fans, and you have to play in front of no fans, that's not equal.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah, I mean,
that's going to be a mess. And plus, I go home in September. I want to see a goddamn Bills game.
Yeah, I mean, only in the last week or so, we're comparing it to England and professional sports. From October, they are looking to get supporters back into the ground, whether it be a reduced capacity and all that. But that is what October, we came out, well, us in the UK, we all came out in like beginning of June, really. So that's what, 4 months or so of actually trying to prepare for coming back. So obviously, as you say earlier, it's mainly down to the governments. I mean, I don't want to get into politics and all that on there, but I don't know what's going on in America. I don't think Trump knows either. But
well, let me tell you, don't be optimistic for New York State. Andrew Cuomo is in charge of New York State, and he was very lackadaisical at the beginning. That's why New York blew up at the beginning of COVID. But now he's being real conservative. The latest thing he said was, you can't go to a bar unless you also order food. You can't just go to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pissing people off. So now these restaurants have come out with 1 pound menus.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and it's just like, so businesses and patrons will always find a way.
Yeah.
So as long as, here's my sense, as long as numbers don't rise by the end of July, I think we'll have fans in the stadium by September. As long as the numbers stay low. But if for any reason there's a spike, New York State's going to lock it down.
Mm. Yeah.
And you might even consider like 60% capacity at a stadium. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Yeah, I think it is what it is at the end of the day. I mean, it's each state decides what they're doing. I can see what Cuomo's doing in New York. It seems to be working, the fact that they're one of the lowest five states on cases and all that. I say it's down to each individual. But at the end of the day, as long as the players are there and they're in their bubbles, they're actually getting their regular tests and actually can play.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of testing.
At the moment, I think that's all that should matter for fans, regardless of whether they want to watch the game or not. They've just got to be happy that if the players and the season does go ahead, that they've got football to at least watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. If we get football, if we get a full 16-game schedule, I'm going to be happy. If some teams can have fans and some don't, I'll be a little angry, but I'll still be happy that we're going to get a full season.
Yeah. So speaking of stadiums, then.
Yeah, where they're going to play. What's the name of the place they're going to play at?
Exactly. New Era Field. New Era have actually pulled out the sponsorship. We've had B-Day actually wants to put enough in the virtual commerce.
The bidet company Tushy wants to spend $12.5 million to be the naming rights owner of the Bills stadium. That would be hilarious and a little embarrassing. But trivia time for you. Can you name me the last three names of the Bills stadium?
It's, well, including the New Era.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the, yeah. Yeah, so New Era before that it was.
New
so
Era
the last two.
Last two, the Ralph Wilson Stadium and the Rich Stadium.
It was just Rich Stadium, but yeah, okay, good. Yeah. I was wondering to see if you would remember Rich Stadium at all, but yeah.
Yeah.
So what's it gonna be? We put it out on Twitter.
That was funny.
If a British company were to, or maybe just a British person bought the naming rights, what would they name it?
Well, I've listed most of the suggestions that we've actually
Safe for Radio ones.
Yes, Safe for Radio ones. The Fish and Chip Stadium. The 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps arena. 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps being a British TV show back in the day. The Tea Time Stadium. Audley Q Park. Bloody Bills Mafia Stadium, Legless Stadium.
What?
The Legless Stadium.
I don't get that.
Legless, you get drunk Legless. If you sometimes drunk Legless.
All right.
Tesco Field. You could add Morrison, Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Bangers and Mash Mafia Field. The Mushy Peas Field. Do you remember that the ship that was that's now called the David Attenborough?
Yes, I believe that was Boaty McBoatface.
Yes, someone actually suggested Boaty McBoatface Stadium.
That's fantastic.
My favorite one is a suggestion is the Matt Swain Stadium. Stadium.
Yeah, let's just pick some random bloke and put his name on the stadium. That makes sense.
Yeah, I won't contribute anything to it. We'll just call it, except that as a thing. Have that and sponsored by and have a... Have
as long as we can put your face on it.
Oh, no, we don't want to scare... Well, we could scare the opposition off, but...
Yeah, we do. We want them to fear coming to the stadium.
You definitely would with my face. Bloody hell. But no, I think there have been some suggestions. I mean, obviously, naming rights, obviously, it could depend on what offered. I mean, I've seen like Buffalo Bar Wings or something, Buffalo Wild Wings or
company. Yeah, nobody in Buffalo wants Buffalo Wild Wings to have the naming rights. It's like that company thinks that we love them because they make wings, but we hate any kind of chain restaurant version of our food. Like, nobody wants that. I mean, if Duff's does it or Anchor Bar does it, then that's better, you know?
You get a bit of a Simpsons vibe with Duff's.
Yeah. But, I mean, the right thing for Pegula to do is to go back and name it the Ralph C. Wilson Stadium. But his name is on the field house. So they're going to sell it because they're capitalists. They are going to make money however they can make money. I just hope that can it be a Buffalo company?
Mm-hmm.
If not, B, can it not sound stupid? For instance, the Chicago White Sox of Major League Baseball, their stadium is Guaranteed Rate Field. The logo for Guaranteed Rate Field is a red arrow pointing down.
Yeah.
I don't want that on my stadium. A down arrow, like, that just means, hey, this team sucks. This stadium sucks.
Yeah.
Like, you got to put two and two together here. So hopefully they don't go for the most expensive offer. Hopefully they go with something that makes sense. M&T Bank already has Baltimore. But, I mean, KeyBank owns one stadium in Seattle and one in Buffalo. So it can be done. M&T Bank is probably the biggest corporation coming out of Buffalo right now. When you mentioned it, Rich Products can also do it. They could get it back. Who knows? I don't trust the Pegulas to do the smart thing here. Yeah. I bet you it's going to suck.
As long as, regardless of what it is to us, to every Buffalo Bills fan and to every fan that's been to the games, say, it's always going to be known as the Ralph Wilson Stadium. And
the Ralph, yeah. I mean, simply the Ralph. That's what we'll always call it. I mean, our baseball stadium has gone through 10 different names. Right now it's Salen Field over the local brand of hot dog. That's weird. But to me, it's always Pilot Field because that's what it was when I was a kid. Everybody has this nostalgia factor for what it was as a kid. I mean, we don't have the luxury of having stadiums like Fenway Park, where it's been around forever, or Anfield, you know, stuff like that. So we can only go back to what, I mean, War Memorial Stadium before they built the city, I mean, Orchard Park, you know, stuff like that. It was cool. It's simple, but it's all about money now, and it's going to be some stupid corporation, I bet.
Yeah. So hopefully
not.
Hopefully when it gets named, we'll actually briefly touch over on it. But let's just preview what's coming up. Now we know that, especially with that memo that's come through, that training camp's pretty much right around the corner. and we can get into the team and season previews, which are due to be coming up now. We will be contacting and actually interviewing teams that we are scheduled to face this year. We might get one or two special guests on for episodes. So we're still going to start going back to weekly podcasts, maybe even give you lots of treats and maybe have two podcasts in a week or something like that. But we now get into the deep stuff. Everyone is now itching on the edge of their seats that football can return. We're nearly there. So it's going to be an interesting month and a bit leading up to the season.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really right around the corner. It's basically, you know, because of this whole COVID thing, it snuck up on me. So I'm like, oh, hey, football. I mean, I got to get ready for fantasy. I've done no prep for that. But, I mean, I still have some time to do that. It's not like building a real football team.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, season previews come in. Our opponents with UK-based podcast hosts will be coming on to join us. Positional previews and breakdowns. 53-man roster previews. Everything's coming.
Yes. So it's literally all hands to the pump in the next few weeks. Obviously, you mentioned fantasy, and I do want to say that guys still get in contact with us, whether it be private messaging UK Bills Twitter or emailing ukbillsfantasy@gmail.com to raise your interest for Fantasy League.
Yeah, you put out a feeler. How many did you get? Anybody interested? How many do you have so far? Because we can put it out on Twitter to fill out a 10 or 12 or 14 team league.
There's only the moment what I've got is about 5-6 at the moment. Okay. So
all right. Well, I'm not trying to do this for free again like we did last year. If we're going to do it, I need stakes.
There's gonna be stakes. We're gonna raise the stakes on this one. So if you fancy it, just drop us a line on everything.
Yep.
Keep following us at UK_Bills, at RWBB_podcast on Twitter.
Had to get a new Twitter, so help us build it up.
Exactly. Facebook group Buffalo Bills UK and UK_Bills on Instagram. Keep following us, hit that subscribe button, rate and review us. And unless you have anything else to add, Alex?
I hope Arsenal wins the FA Cup.
Then on that note, I will finish my my cup of Rosie Lee, get ready for a Ruby Murray, and say,
God.
Governor. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Thank you for listening, and go Bills.
All right, Governor, cheerio, mate.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us. Not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are. Bills on three. One, two, three, Bills.